Well, Lord, we are here to praise you today. And Lord, we bring the sacrifice of praise because sometimes we don't feel like praising. But Lord, you tell us even when it's bad and down and we're stressed, if we praise you, then Lord, you'll come and you'll take all that away from us. Hallelujah. That you're our comforter, you're our helper, that you're our friend. And Lord, I pray for our brother in Christ, Todd, as he is getting ready and prepared to give your word. Father, use him today in a mighty way. I pray, God, this altar will get used and will be flooded with tears as people come and repent and open up their hearts and surrender their lives to you, Jesus. And we pray all this in the mighty, mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. How many people are excited to be here this morning?
Jesus.
Outstanding. Well, I'm excited to be here too, because you know, as Brother Steve and I were talking this morning, there is no greater honor than to stand up here and proclaim God's word to people. There is no greater honor, no more of a humbling experience than to be called by God and to be used by God. No one at my past, no one at where I'm at today, but he still chooses to use me to proclaim his perfect word. And his perfect word will definitely be given today by an imperfect person. And I'm pretty sure that I'm not the only one here that can say that. So with that being said, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just love you this morning, Lord. As the song stated so clearly, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning, Lord, to just come in your presence, Lord, to come here and to have church on a Saturday morning. Lord, there's so many people here that are coming from a bad place, Lord. So many people that are hurting, that need that touch from you. Lord, we ask you to help set those cares aside today. And for the next 20 to 30 minutes, Lord, to help them focus solely on you, not the problems that they walked in the door with, not how big the food line's getting, not that those pair of blue jeans may not be there when I get there, but focus solely on you and you alone. So, Father, we give you this time now. We thank you for this ministry. We thank you for your word. We thank you once again for bringing these people here to hear from you. Lord, as your word says, your word does not come back void. So we ask that you would use the words that are spoken today to convict those that need convicted, to heal those that need healed, to break those that need broken. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory due in the most holy name of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, amen. If you have your Bibles,
Jesus,
I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. And we're going to talk a little bit about Solomon. Now, Solomon was coined to be the wisest man to ever live. I'm thinking he's probably the second, because I got a feeling that Jesus is probably the first. So we're going to call Solomon the second wisest man to ever live. Now you figure all the folks that have lived in this world from the moment that God created it till now, if you're number two on that list, you're doing pretty darn good. Would you agree with that? So we're going to start down in chapter two. But I want to talk about Solomon as a man of God. He had everything he could possibly want. And listen to what he had to say in chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. And this is Solomon speaking. It says, I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what good is. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guided me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. Now, mind you, this is a man of God speaking here. So when he's saying this thing here, he's walking with God, but he's not 100% satisfied with that. So he thinks, as a lot like we do, that we can find that joy outside of God. When he said here in verse 3, I tried cheering myself with wine. Anybody been there? Ex-alcoholic here. I did. Anybody else? Go ahead, raise your hands. We tried to do it with wine. Did it work? Sure didn't for me. And I'm betting it didn't work for any of you all either. So we tried it with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during a few days of their lives. See, he wasn't satisfied with what God had for him. He wanted to see what other people had. Anybody here done that? I'll raise my hand again. Somebody else has got something. I want some of that. But when that something that somebody else has is Jesus, do we seek that with the same fervor as we sought when he was out there doing the things he shouldn't do? See, that's the question. When we want to see what else is out there, we always seem to look in the direction of the bad stuff. When I want to see what's out there, when was the last time when you wanted to see what was out there that you walked into a church to see what was out there? But no, we don't do that. We go into a friend's house that's got a party going on. We go into a bar. We go into places we shouldn't be because we just want to see what else is out there. Well, Solomon is saying, did that too. So you're in good company if in fact, you're the one that is seeking that elsewhere. Verse 4, I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers and a harem as well. The delights of the heart of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. So what's he saying there? He's saying he has amassed all these riches looking for that joy. He has amassed the property looking for all that joy. He's got a harem, and a harem is a bunch of women looking for all that joy. He had bought all sorts of slaves looking for that joy. He had property. He had livestock looking for that joy. Do we do that? I mean, raise my hand again. Looks like this is the message is just for me only, I'm seeing. Back here? Amen. You see, we try to make ourselves satisfied with things. We try to make ourselves satisfied with created things, and we ignore the creator of those things. You see, when Christ came into the world, he became all that we needed. We don't have to seek property. We don't have to seek possession. We don't have to seek a harem. We don't have to seek land and livestock and money. All we need to do is seek Christ. When that works for Solomon, the second wisest man in the world, I'm pretty sure that'll apply to us. Listen to verse 10. It says, I denied myself nothing my eye desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. What he's saying is, whatever I wanted, I got. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Now, if we stop there, it sounds like, well, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, all this stuff is making him happy. Because it said that his heart took delight in all his work. Verse 11. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. All that stuff that he had amassed, and we can list them, the harem, the money, the property, the slaves, the livestock, the wine. What's he saying? Everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Now, if you, anybody out there ever try to chase the wind, you can't catch it. You can't hold it. You can't even see it. But we chase after it, seeking those things that we think are going to make us happy and content. But when he says here that everything was meaningless, that's powerful. When the second wisest man in the world tells us something like that, I'm thinking that maybe, just maybe, we should listen to that. You see, this is kind of like, this is going to sound really corny, but anybody remember when they were growing up and they were just young kids? And as Easter time rolled around, and you seen your Easter basket. Everybody get an Easter basket as a kid? Only six of you did, huh? Everybody here ever get an Easter basket as a kid? Okay, now you go out there, you find the Easter basket, because my parents would always hide it. And why they did that, I have no idea, but they'd always hide it. So when we found the Easter basket, you look at it, and what's the first thing your eyes always seem to catch up on? That chocolate bunny, right? And you get all cranked up, and you go busted into that, and your mom will tell you, can't have that yet, but we always did, right? So you get to the chocolate bunny, you're all fired up, you stick the ear in your mouth, and you take a big bite. And then what happens? It's hollow. No, I wanted the chocolate bunny. All I got was air in the ears. That's what living like Solomon was doing is good for. We seek these things, we get fired up about things, and when we get to them, they're hollow. Amen? And when they're hollow, what do? Well, we seek more, because we didn't get our satisfaction in that. See, we didn't realize at that point, well, you know what? Maybe I should just go eat the eggs or something, because those are all chocolate. No, we ate the whole bunny, even though it was hollow. See, we still chase after the hollow stuff, even when we know it doesn't fill us up. When Solomon was doing that, he said everything is meaningless. He was seeking something to fill that hollow spot in his life. And when he was seeking that, he was seeking it in directions that were going to lead to destruction if he stayed on that path longer. Just like we did. When I was growing up, my first taste of alcohol was given to me by my dad at the age of 13 years old. Because a friend of mine in junior high had killed himself, and I was having problems with it. So Dad gave me a beer, and he says, here, this will make you feel better. Okay, what that did was, what do you think I did as an adult when I got down in the dumps? I drank a beer, and then another beer, until the pain finally stopped for the moment. That's where alcoholics come from. That's where I came from, because I learned at a young age that that's how to handle stuff. But it was hollow. Had Dad told me the wiser things of how to handle death, things may have turned out different in my life. But by the grace of God, he got a hold of me before I killed myself, or worse. Thank you, Lord. You see, when I tried to put other items in to make me happy, it never worked. It doesn't work today. Whatever you're trying to hang on to make you feel better about yourself, about your situation, about your life, if it's not wrapped around Jesus Christ, it's hollow. And it's not going to be filled until you fill it with something worthwhile. Matthew 6:33 says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. You want to fill that hollowness that's going on in your life, seek first the kingdom of God. When you do that, that's when things are going to start to change. That hollow feeling that you have in your heart doesn't have to be filled with drugs and alcohol. That hollow feeling can be filled by the Holy Spirit, by God, by the closeness that comes from knowing Christ as your Savior. So seek first the righteousness of God. Listen to what Matthew 5, verse 6 says. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The hunger and thirst is a verb. It means something you have to do. You have to hunger for God. You have to thirst after God and His righteousness. And when you do that, you will be filled with God. You'll be filled with God's peace. You'll be filled with God's love. And all this other crap that we're doing doesn't exist anymore to us because we don't need it to. Those things we were doing to make us feel better, we don't have to do those things anymore because we've got something to replace it with, and that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, when we seek first the kingdom of God, we're going to seek what He wants us to seek. We're going to love the way He wants us to love. When we're filled with God, the things that we used to hang on to help us survive aren't necessary anymore. Now, we may still go back to them just because we're weak. I did. I was still a drunk when I was saved because I wasn't what they call all in. Anybody here play poker? I don't play poker. I'm not good at it. If I did, I'd lose everything. But there's this term in there of poker called all in. And what that is you take all your chips and you push it right in the middle of the table and say, this is it. I'm all in. God wants us all in. God doesn't want us just to throw a couple chips on the table and say, have at it. God wants us all in. And when we're all in, our desires to do those things are going to change. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to change the way we think. And when we realize that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we need to humble ourselves and seek God's forgiveness and say, God, I'm a mess, this is what's going to happen. You'll find this in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. It says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. The idols are the things that we put in place of God. The alcohol, the drugs, the pornography, the doing whatever we do. The stealing, the shacking up with women, as Pastor Cloyd says. We don't need to do that anymore. All impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. He tells us right there that He is going to clean us up. He is going to sprinkle us with that water, the living water that can only be found through Jesus Christ. And when He does that, we will be clean. We will be filled with His Spirit. And when we're filled with His Spirit, we can leave the stuff of the world behind. Now, if we listen to those words of Ezekiel and we decide that, you know what, that's probably not for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. He's telling us that come judgment day, we are going to have to make an answer to God at the judgment seat of Christ for everything we've done in our lives, whether good or bad. Now, the nice part about that is, if we decide to humble ourselves and we decide to seek God and His righteousness, the good is all we need to talk about. Because when you say yes to Jesus, all of our sins are wiped away. When we say yes to Jesus, everything that we have done in our past life that has been bad is washed away. And that's pretty encouraging. As it says in Ezekiel, all your impurities will be gone. See, when we go to the judgment seat of Christ, I don't want to sit there and have to stammer and stutter to God about why I did things. Because I'm not real sure, but I don't think He's real forgiving at that point. He's forgiving up to that point, because we can seek forgiveness all the way up to the time we take our last breath. But once we've taken our last breath, or when Christ comes back, we're not going to get a second opportunity, regardless of what the Left Behind series tells you. When it comes to salvation, today is the day of salvation. So let's go back to Solomon, back in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. I love this particular passage, because in my Bible, each section's got a title. And this one is called The Conclusion of the Matter. Sounds like a lawyer. Sounds like a lawyer that's given his final speech to the judge. We've had a lot of high-profile court cases the last couple of weeks. And, you know, you see on the news that the attorneys are giving their closing statements. The conclusion of the matter is this. Listen to what Solomon has to say. Now, all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Now, if you read the whole book of Ecclesiastes, which I encourage because it's an incredible book, but we read in chapter 2 all the stuff that he had done seeking pleasure, all the stuff he had tried seeking pleasure, all the stuff he had bought seeking pleasure. Now listen to what he says here. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. 12 chapters can all be summed up in one sentence. Verse 14. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So what is the conclusion of the matter? The second wisest man in the world spent all of his resources, all of his money that he could muster for the pleasures of the flesh. And what did he say? It's all meaningless. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's powerful. So how do we do that? How do we get to that point in our lives when we realize that everything that we're doing is meaningless when it comes to trying to please ourselves? But what we really need to do is give our lives to God, give our hearts to Jesus, fill that hollowness up with only the love of Christ. How do we do that? The book of Romans chapter 10 verse 9 tells us that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. You see, we overcomplicate salvation. Salvation is extremely simple to obtain if your motives are pure and if you come with a right heart. So many times, we will come up here to the altar based on emotion alone. And we come up here because something that the speaker up here said that really got your attention. And it brought remorse in your life. And you say, you know what? Maybe now's a good time to take care of that. So you come to the altar and you get on your knees and you ask for forgiveness of that particular issue that's causing you the pain. Now you may be prompted at that time to offer up a prayer of salvation. But our hearts are pure on the salvation. We just want out of our temporary pain. We're not seeking to be lifted up and freed from the bondage that we're in. We come up as emotional wreck because we want that one item that's in our lives to be removed. And we think that by coming up here, that the people that are standing over here can save you truth be known, I can't save anybody. I can give you the steps on how to be saved. Bless you. I can give you the steps on how to be saved. I can't save you. Steve can't save you. Only one that can save you is Jesus Christ. And to be saved, you need to be humble. You need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that He died for you and me. And you will be saved. So as we close this morning, I'm just going to ask you right now. How many of you out there have that hollowness in your life that Solomon had? Everything that you're seeking is meaningless. Everything you've tried has turned out bad. Everything, according to Solomon, is meaningless. But the last two chapters of the verse, fear God and keep His commandments. So I'm going to ask you now if you'd pray with me. We have the altar open. We have some men of God and some ladies of God that would just love to pray with you this morning. If you want to make that emotional decision to get yourself out of that temporary spot that you're in, can I tell you now with 100% certainty, if you come to that altar seeking just that alone, you're going to be in another spot next week. You are. See, the society that we live in today, what I call the microwave society, we want it now. We want it now. I want a faster cell phone. I can't wait 4 seconds for that internet page to load. I got to have it in 2 seconds. I want to come up here and get that momentary bit of pain that I am currently in taken care of. God will do that for you. But if you don't make that true repentance and seek to be freed from the bondage that we're in, we're going to be right back in the same spot. So I'm just going to encourage you now, if you want to make that commitment to Christ, that commitment to live for Him, to fear God and keep His commandments, you're going to get that opportunity in a moment. As I said earlier, the altars are open. Pray with me. Father God, we just praise You this morning. Lord, I ask You to convict those this morning that need that touch from You, Lord, to help us to make that lasting decision for You and not that temporarily prayer just to feel better. Lord, we ask You to take those that need that touch, to stir them up inside right now in Jesus' name, to break them down, to call them to repentance, to turn from their sins and walk side by side with You forever. So saints, if that is your prayer this morning, the altars are open.